Casper and Acosta here. I know it's only Monday morning, but I'm asking all you members of the Beehive out there, where the honey is?
And we're back. Today we are brought to you by Hire People. Recruit, reskill, retain. Inspired by the innovation and hustle of the startup scene and our love for connecting with great people, Hire People is here to level up your own skill set. We look for partners, not clients. That's Hire People.
We're here, exit interviews. We've got the man, the myth. We've got the big dick commish, or whatever they, what did Sam call you? The bottom bish commish, I think.
That seemed interesting.
One of these things, you know, you got them all. Former champion, man of many names. Stephen Fox, Purple Brain. Stephen, how are you?
Doing good. You know, just reminiscing on old laurels and focusing on new laurels.
Right. So you went 5-9 in the regular season this year in the Ray Lewis League. Just starting here from your league history, that is your second worst season ever in the Ray Lewis League. You had a 4-9 season almost 10 years ago in 2015. But this 5-9 is your worst output. It's the most losses you've ever had, or the tied for the most losses you've ever had ever. Down at the bottom of where you are, though, historically, three-time champion, you've had 311-plus winning season. You had the most wins in a single season of anybody with a perfect season in 2018.
Thanks,
you know,
Daniel.
You're one of the only people that's ever had a tie with Daniel twice in this league. You know, no other ties have happened. Yeah, so, you know, a couple years ago, sixth place finishes. You know, you won the consolation bracket this year in the Ray Lewis League. So everybody's up to date with your history. You know, you're now 91-71. Historically, you have a 56 top with everybody else in the league, like Daniel Week and Zach Hudnall, Chase Vickery with his 60% winning percentage. Sorry, you're down 2%. Oh, no, just down 1%. Winning percentages in the league. And we're here now. Do you feel like what's something that you learned this season?
I mean, really, it was how to battle back from adversity, more or less. If you look at my points put up, getting my points put up against me, I was picked on a little bit, but more times than not, you know, I was doing a pretty good job. Like, I think my average start was like 110 points, which was pretty good. 90%, I think, is what Sleeper said in terms of my pick'em. I just had to fight against injuries. Problem is, I got 5 games behind the 8-ball and put me in a situation where I needed to lose, or basically went out. And I went on a 5-game streak towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Needed to close out the last 2. Unfortunately, the injury bug continued even with the players that I had accumulated for my injured players. And so that kind of set me back. And there really wasn't a way to plug all the holes. And then once my players got healthy again in the consolation bracket, I outscored everybody in the playoff bracket for the most part, including the championship round. So, you know, there's a lot of what up in every season. And, you know, if I would have gotten those 2 wins, my playoff run would have ended with the championship. So, like, there, I could see a path to the championship last year. I could see a path to the championship this year, but I can also see, like, where the miscomings were. And, you know, there's not much I could do about that more than I did.
Well, you know, the old saying, every man rules his own hell, as they say. Yeah. So you scream from the winner of the consolation bracket. Winning, you know, this thing, it's great, you know. So what was your favorite moment from this season in the Ray Lewis League? What was your favorite moment?
Favorite moment? Honestly, I think it would be tied to my wedding, the Fox Fest weekend. There were murmurings of a kicker versus kicker matchup between Too Naughty Ballin and Anal Fisters, the soon to be finals matchup, but they couldn't kick the ball down the field. And the people that were able to kick the ball down the field ended up being Sam and Daniel, who decided to go defense against defense, which ended up in a really tight matchup, a 1-point victory for Daniel on that. But, you know, I think that was probably a good moment there in the season.
That's a good one. I like that one. I'm betting that that's going to be some other people's favorite moments too.
Yeah. This
season. Just going.
I mean, just a one player
defense on defense. What you got? Kind of
just leave it out on the field. You know, defense wins championships. I love that. But yeah, because I had Scott after the draft. He was my draft day darling. That I thought his team looked good enough to make it to a final. And I bet on the right horse in that regard. He pretty well romped on everybody up until the last matchup. And even that came down to 9 points. And I think he lost 11 points on defense. So, and his backup defense lost like 14 points.
It was a swing.
I think if he would have picked up the Jags defense, he would have gotten 16, and that would have been the only option. But there weren't many options in the waiver wire, and I had streamed the Jacksonville Jaguars defense at some point during the season, and they burned me on a week that all the projections and all the experts, so-called experts, were saying the Jags were a good pick. They ended up being one of the worst picks of the week, so I can get some hesitation on that part. But
exactly.
But yeah, I think that was another. Key highlight for me was seeing his team finally come out of the slums and the cream rising to the top per se.
Mm-hmm. So if we've learned something, we got a favorite moment. You're the commissioner here. You talked about your favorite moment was the 1v1 matchup, and the reason why Derek and Scott didn't go for it is because they were worried about the points race.
Right. Rightfully so.
Do you have any thoughts? Is there anything in a dream world like that? Is there something that you would change in this league that might allow for more positions like that? One idea I have is if you go into, say, divisions, or you just go more by records and the points get lowered, like if there's somehow to have a different hierarchy in deciding who makes the playoffs in the end game. Is there anything that you would change in the league in your mind just for fun, just if we're thinking real fun here, that you would think would be interesting? Going into divisions, going into the different... fab budget, going into auction, going into a different draft thing, like a third round snake flip. Like, what are any ideas that you've toyed with just for fun, just to get breath?
For this league, not so much. I've definitely been putting that energy into the basketball league, as you know, but we've gone through a few different iterations. I think we even toyed with like individual defensive players at one point, like for a season. But really, like, I feel like we've got a good point system where it's at. I don't feel like the running backs are too overpowered with the 0.1 per carry. It makes people like Christian McCaffrey valuable. And Derek has basically seen Christian McCaffrey take him to the championship twice now and win. So I feel like with the keeper situation, people choosing not to keep keepers, I think that that hasn't impacted any kind of imbalance. I think that it's a good reset, similar to like a team maybe not doing so hot and getting a first round pick 5 years in a row, like the 76ers in basketball. Can't say the Browns because they don't know what to do with their draft picks. But, I think that there hasn't been anything there. I'm definitely open ears to any suggestions. But I feel like for the most part, the scoring has been pretty solid. Even with like a team like, Tristan's, who ended up at, 3-11 or whatever it was in last place, he scored like 190 points or something, 180 something points in the last week of the season. So it's like,
yep,
his team was a ticking time bomb. It just ticked off like 14 weeks too late, basically. So yeah, I think it could be any given Sunday. Even with Sandusky Chower was doing great. Kyle was doing great for a good bit of the season, was able to recover. Justin ended up having the 11th pick in the draft or 12th pick in the draft. And, he ended up being able to muster up a streak in the middle of the season to get him to the playoffs. So, I feel like everything seems pretty balanced, and we're getting new people in the playoffs that hadn't been in the playoffs in the last 10 years. And so I feel like as long as you're engaged to it, like, you have a chance to win in this league.
Yeah, you're the spider that spun this web over 12 seasons. And, I looked back at it. When you look at the history, you see 12 years of us actually doing the damn thing, and proud that you connected it. Even me, I was remembering that I used to do this league on a different email account on my ESPN. And there was even a few seasons.
Yeah, 2 years.
There was, a, There was a couple seasons. I even think I might have accidentally won the championship during this time, where I was like switching back between my profiles and everything for all these different leagues that we would do. And it's just, you know, that's like some bullshit from like 10 years ago or something like that that I can remember. It's just, we've been around for so long. So much technology has changed. We're on the Sleeper app now. Last question. After this comment, you know, we spelled out where you're at. It's your second worst season ever, you know, 56% winning percentage. Haven't made a huge run in the playoffs this season because you didn't get there soon enough. Some might call you in a role of sort of a Bill Belichick role right now. I mean, you're in a hoodie. You got your arms crossed on the video. You're not looking satisfied with your organization. I mean, do you want to still coach the Purple Rain next year?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
And yeah, do you think
I've got a lifetime contract with Purple Rain.
And if you think that you're able to coach, do you still want to continue with general manager duties, or is someone like your wife, you know, an option to take over, you know, getting you free agents, getting you draft picks? Like, is that the person that should be drafting your team and then you just go out and coach them from a week to week? Like, should you focus more on that?
You know, my wife has been in a championship, so she knows what it takes. You could say that we've got a championship pedigree in the family.
You guys got two rings now.
Yeah, you know, exactly. We got two more rings. So that gives me, what, five plus the two in Vampire, that's seven. Five, plus, yeah. I think I got a couple of Chad Dynasty. Right? I got like nine. Yeah. You know, I might have 10 rings total. I don't know. Just like I'm running out of fingers. Yeah, I think
two hands.
I have the right intentions with my teams as a general manager. I feel like selling off Austin Eckler, as many people thought that was stupid. I think that's just a Chargers fan bias setting in, but a lot of people thought chipping off that for a third round pick was a bad move. I'll definitely stand by that. Austin Eckler ended up being hurt for 4 weeks, so I would have been burnt either way. So I think that
right,
getting it done sooner than later with Chubb was probably the way to go. And Jalen Hurts was, you know, he kept me alive for a good run of the season. So I think I'm picking the right people, and there's not really a formula to it in terms of keepers. I've seen, you know, with Tristan, two wide receivers win. I kept Zeke and Todd Gurley, and that's what got me back-to-back championships. With Derek, it's Christian McCaffrey and question mark. Which I can't remember who he might have kept. He might have kept a wide receiver this last. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he might have kept this last year. But yeah, so there's not really a formula to what it takes to win. It's just a matter of who do you put around that formula to succeed in the season. So, and then hope they don't get injured, because God forbid you have multiple injuries a week, every week for 5 or 6 weeks, you end up amassing it, which had I tied the record with anybody ahead of me, I would have edged them on points. So the points were there. The record was not.
Well, I mean, so do you remind yourself of anything for next year? Could you remind yourself of like one thing to do differently?
Do it all again, only better.
All right. So, last question, Steven. Would you bang a female clone of yourselves?
Hell no.
Okay. All right. Well, from the commissioner of the Ray Lewis League, I mean, I think that's a pretty damn good exit interview, Steven. What about, do you have a couple seconds for the Vampire League?
1,000%.
Oh, love it. Well, sick. Well, I love it. Chase is just calling me in too, because he's going to do his exit interview right now as well.
You're like a professor at a college, and you just got students lining up at the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. I mean,
this turning would be your nice paper
to kind of do. Yeah, we'll do both here.
What I heard on these podcast tapes: chilling, haunting stuff. You say nightmares are made of it, but the underselling nightmares.
Welcome to And We're Back, the podcast about the demise of two good friends who were found dead after producing possibly the greatest crossover success since Allen Iverson. We take a deep dive in the world of found audio tapes, the last known footage of these two precocious podcasters, and hopefully we can unearth what is going on.
Hard Knocks narrator Liv Schreiber. This time.
This time.
This time.
This time.
This time.
This time.
Queste volte.
For real. Real.
But yeah. So Steven, starting with the Vampire League, I mean, do you have a favorite moment from the Vampire moments this year? I mean, you almost got in there yourself in the playoffs in that league too.
Yeah, again, I think what was crazy is I had very similar storylines, not regarding injuries, because I felt like I avoided the injury bug pretty well in the Vampire League. But I had a team that put up a lot of points, but then got put up a lot of points on. So everybody knows two-time champion. They show up, they lace them up with a little bit tighter on Sunday. You know, you win enough championships, you got a target on your back. And I think, you know, that's kind of my team just got rip-rolled the weeks that I played. And I feel like I stacked my team how I wanted to. I went in with the strategy. If we're playing a board game, I went in with the strategy that was going to be sound in my mind, and that was have a stable of running backs that would be able to avoid having any injuries like what I suffered in Ray Lewis. And they all stayed healthy, and they all put up really good points. Unfortunately, I wasn't ever able to ship one off until later. By that time, it was too late for me to whenever I traded Jonathan Taylor for Tua. It was all for naught in that regard. I had a little shot, but it was just like maybe 2% chance. And yeah, I think if anything, getting some trades synced in earlier in the season, maybe being less tied to those running backs. Because really, once Davante Adams went out, that was kind of where I couldn't ever recover. That was like kind of a startling blow at the beginning against the Vampire.
Yeah, I mean, you're 5-9 in that league, and so it's gonna kind of, yeah, be a little bit of a mirror image there. But we also bring in someone from the Vampire League, someone from the Super League, someone from the Ray Lewis League. That's Chase. What's up, Chase?
Yeah, I'm doing well today. So yeah, it's tough. No, I like getting to the championship, but I never seem to close it off. So always hurts, but
yeah,
you move on.
Yeah, Chase, how many is that for you now? Is that three?
Sounds about right. Yeah, I think it's three.
Yeah.
What is this, year six, year five?
That's just this league, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have some in...
yeah, because last year you were in both championships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, you went 8-6 this year. You're 47-34 overall in the Vampire League. Defeated the Vampire in the regular season. A huge person to him the second time. What was that? Who was that? Was that Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, we lost Christian McCaffrey.
Well, Chase, I got a question for you. What's something that you could remind yourself next season? If you give yourself one rule next season for the Vampire League, what is it?
You know, I think I held on to my running backs a little too long. I think I came in with a similar strategy. Steven had good depth in the running back room. And then I acquired Jahmyr Gibbs from Andy, made a big trade there where I got rid of Madison Sanders, kind of cashed out on them at the right time and picked up Jahmyr Gibbs. I think our problem was we had four running backs for a while. And then we never could get that wide receiver room figured out. It was multiple things. Like, I had DJ Moore for a while, thought that was going to be a move. And then I moved him for Devontae Smith to Steven. And then I think DJ Moore got a little hot and Devontae Smith cooled off. And then I moved Devontae Smith for AJ Brown, and AJ Brown cooled off there at the end. And he obviously got hurt in the championship. And lo and behold, DJ Moore had a great championship week. So, I mean, I was chasing the wide receiver room all year, and I think that's what really hurt me.
Okay. So you'd remind yourself, get rid of your wide running back sooner.
Yeah,
you know
I don't need to
got,
carry the running back as long as normal, as long as I did.
Steve, I got one last question for you in the Vampire League, in case you got to go. But you're a participant in the Vampire League, and we've been all about, you know, rule changes and stuff in the text. about potentially changing this up. You know, no vampires made the playoffs since we've expanded the league. What's something you would change?
I guess it comes down to what can you change in ESPN? Because ideally, if you could have like a, yeah, I think the weeks, the 2 week playoff, that would probably be a thing. If there's a world where six teams, maybe
you want to change the bracket.
Yeah, maybe the bracket, like if you can give the one a bye, mm-hmm. like similar to how the NFL operates. But I don't think you can, I don't know what you can do in terms of changing that as a commissioner in ESPN.
Well, I think in a sense, if you make it a 1 week for each round and you introduce a first like wild card weekend, then in a way you just kind of make a little bit of a guillotine league situation for week 17 or week 15. So you finish your regular season, week 15, couple guys are out and we're down to those last six. And then 16 and 17, you're in your semifinals and your finals round like 1 week. I wouldn't be down. I don't think we need a 2 week thing as well. What about you, Chase? What's something you'd change in the Vampire League? I mean, I know you had some draft fiasco organizationally. Do you see some there that might help you from staying away from that? Or what do you got?
Really? No. I mean... No, I've been through enough drafts that I don't see any issues with the draft process.
It's hard to fuck up an auction.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. I do actually like the 2 week championship.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think there's any way in ESPN where you can do 1 week then 2 week championship. But I think ideally, in an ideal world, I would like to see a 1 week, week 15, maybe wild card round or semifinals. Yeah, and then 2 weeks, week 16, week 17, or well, we can still go to week 18. I do kind of like the strategy that goes around having to go into that final championship week. But again, that's something that hurt me. I mean,
yeah. I would think Lamar would be out. If your starters can start, like, sat too.
Right, right. Like I think
all the Chiefs.
I tried to think that through, but, like, if I had Christian McCaffrey, he would have still been around. He would have been having to sit out in week 18, and then obviously Lamar had to sit out. So
yeah, week 18 is tough. I feel like there's a world where a 3 week playoff is the solution if that is a feasible thing.
Yeah, and well, you know, the other side of it too is there was a world where we used to play only 13 regular season games. You know, if you go back to the madness scenario where certain people don't play the vampire, you know, like one person wins the chance to not play the vampire twice, but only once in a sense, then, you know, you might open up the idea of that, you know, wild card round, six people are in the tournament, 2 week finals still available, stuff like that. But it is, it's all possible. There's a lot of shifts, little tiny that could be made. So it's great. I mean, Chase, when you are in this vampire league, would you bang a female clone of yourself?
No, that's held for my wife at this point.
Your wife?
Okay, so she can bang a female clone of yourself. Most of the married men in these leagues will probably give you a familiar, similar response.
Would you bang a female clone of your wife? Let's rephrase it for
that would be a tricky situation. Yeah. I mean, do we know it's a clone or do we know
it's a body snatcher situation. We don't know.
This is a multiplicity question, you know. Okay,
I think I would be able to tell
because
the difference
his wife can bang his female clone.
That's strong.
I think I would be able to tell the difference between the clone and my wife, but
it doesn't feel right. Something doesn't feel right.
Yeah, there's something going on there. Yeah, Quinn, did you answer that question yet?
Well, Chase, if we bounce over I'm thoroughly. I would not bang self. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I would not bang her. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
You know, Billy Dudding's sister looks exactly like Billy Dudding. As attractive as she may be, it'd be like banging Billy, and it's not.
Yeah.
I got an attraction question for you, Chase. Over in the Ray Lewis League. Okay, you finished the year 10 wins, 10-4. You have a 60% win ratio this year. You I believe, if I do the math right, you might have improved that even. So now you're 100 wins. You're the first person to 100 win in the Ray Lewis League. Congratulations. You're 164. You've got championship. You finished in the top four 8 times. Actually, no, you finished in fifth in this bracket because you didn't get. So, yeah, still seven times you finished in the top four, one championship, nine playoff appearances. You know, great pedigree. Tell me, coming off from last year when you finished 6-8, big turnaround, four less losses. What's your favorite moment from this fantasy season?
Well, I think we've righted the ship. We've figured out how to turn it around in the Sleeper app. We had a couple down years there, but
learning curve.
Overall, I think my team has had the depth this year. We were one of the deepest teams in the league. Problem was there were just some really good teams at the top of the league and teams that made the championship that they had the more elite talent.
Yeah, I could see that, especially.
Yeah.
Just didn't have the playoff performances you're getting during the year. Was there something that you took away from this season in the Ray Lewis League that you need to remind yourself for next year and that other?
Not really.
Remind themselves of.
Yeah. The keeper discussion is always interesting in the Ray Lewis because you don't know who's going to keep who or how strong rookie class is going to be or who is going to be worth taking a shot on. I think one thing I thought was really a highlight of my year was I don't think I drafted as well in the Vampire, but I think in this league I drafted really well. I acquired an extra pick at the end of last season.
So I got an
extra 10th round pick in there. I also took a flyer on Nacua at the end of the draft, which paid off huge. So I made a lot of the right moves.
Yeah, Puka.
Yeah, it was just I had inconsistent guys.
Trade talks. We had a Waddle for Puka trade early in the season.
Yeah, we did have that.
So in the Ray Lewis League, you've got this idea about you did great draft, and then everybody in the Vampire's been talking their running back,
yeah,
including Daniel the Vampire. So are the running backs as key in the Ray Lewis League, a deeper league?
Yeah, I think running backs do have a lot of value in Ray Lewis. I mean, I had Gibbs and Hall. As staples, they were inconsistent, but I think they were pretty good to have as front end guys. They played every week, so that's usually pretty good to have.
Chubb derailed my entire season.
Jamar Chase was one guy I kept that probably had a down year, but you lose your starting quarterback. Who knows really what's going to happen there? And then I invested in Chargers, so that was a mistake. And I think I did that in both leagues with Eckler and in Herbert. Like, started off great, went downhill ever since. So,
Well, I guess final thoughts. I mean, Chase, is there anything that you would change about the Ray Lewis League?
I think the Ray Lewis League is proven enough that we might be to the point where we could relegate some players. If you're not setting active rosters every week, this might be a hot button topic, but if you're not setting active rosters every week, then you might get relegated out of the league.
I like it. You know, I'm a fan of relegation, bringing in this soccer style thing. I wish you guys a great off season. I mean, any last thoughts from Steven, and then last thought from Chase, last words of the year from you guys to the league.
See you guys in the basketball championship.
Congratulations to Kurt and Derek. Hope Derek listens to this episode.
Can you timestamp it to him congratulating him and just have him listen to that?
They had the best years. Yep. Both leagues. I think the best teams won. So congrats to those guys.
Agreed.
I'll make the playoffs every year. That's what I do. But don't expect me to be winning championships.
All right. Oh, you know, I got one last question that just came to my head. Hot button issue, potentially. Any thoughts for one last change in the Ray Lewis League? What about thoughts of a money league, throwing down a little bit of cash? Just not a lot, nothing crazy, but just a small money.
I'm definitely all in on that.
Additive to this league that's been around for 12 years.
Yeah, Ray Lewis League, it's been my longest league, but it's also my third league when it comes to interest, just because Vampire, the dynamics of Vampire are so interesting. And then I also have a heavy money league on Yahoo with some friends from Chicago. So I kind of prioritize that over Ray Lewis just because the money's on the line.
I tell you what, I tried doing money and it ended up me just paying out high scores all year and no one paying money. So It's tough to get money.
Were we supposed to pay money that year?
It's tricky.
Not this year, but like 2 years ago, I tried to do high score, and about like I think at one point Scott got high score, and I Venmo him $5 for high score, and he said, "What's this for?" And I was like, "All right, I'm done." And then Daniel said, "Push his money," and then I was like, "I'm gonna give you the money, or I'm not gonna give you the money." So I just didn't give him the money. So like, I just like, I've tried. I've really fucking tried. It's just, you can only go so far with your engagement. And I feel like we've got the engagement enough that, you know, you're going to have your Sams that don't set rosters. And like, he could have made the playoffs. I didn't look into it, like I said, I was going to, but I'm pretty sure he would have made the playoffs had he set his roster at least like five times. But man, I did try it, because the high score is a great one. We use it in another one of my leagues. It's a $55 buy-in. I had the worst team in the entire league in a 14-man auction draft, and I ended up making $25, which was more than eight of the guys ahead of me. So it's just, it works when people pay into it, but I can't be the one paying into it.
I think that would be great. It's just, it's probably because it's been a free league for so long.
Yep.
And
premium, like, man.
We're all spread out, and it's not like I can knock down on all of these guys' doors to get them to pay and stuff.
Well, I think it's a
mesh problem usually, so.
Yeah, I don't think Sam checks his Venmo notifications either.
Well, you sell tickets in the draft room. And, you know, this is... Yeah, right. Well, we'll see what happens. And I love it. Thank you, guys. This is a great exit interview. And as you know, as we say in the pod, ciao bello.
Ciao bello.
Ciao bacio.
Ciao bacio.